shooting up tonight. Wow, it's up $16 tonight.
The Nikkei's down 375.
Yep.
It's down 4%.
Crude oil is plunging again.
What is that one?
That's the Asian markets.
Nikkei is Japanese. The other one, the Hong Kong is the, what do they call that thing?
Nikkei.
They call it the Hong Kong. I don't know. That one is probably way down, too. Gosh, crude oil is just falling like a rock tonight. It's down to 77.
And it's all rigged game. There's so many people. There's a very minimum of the population is just making a killing. That's all this means is that they're taking more money.
Right, there's men making an absolute killing right now. You're absolutely right.
Gathering up the remnant or the scraps. The
fragments.
The fragments.
Make sure that none be lost.
All right, I'm, you guys ready?
Wait a minute, we lost that one lady's pension. Go back and get that.
Yeah, go get yeah. that little old lady on Elm Streets. Get her entire pension and leave her desolate. They are scumbags.
Yes, they are.
Wow, just all bad.
I'm ready anytime. Ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, audience. Tonight, we're going to proceed with our study of Joel, Chapter 2. And we are going to, it was a lively pre-show where we tried to reconcile scripture upon scripture as to the events. Today, it's August 8th, and the United States is in its most critical economic juncture of the modern age. And we'll go directly to current events to bring you up to speed on the impact of these economics from a biblical perspective. Brother Chris?
Hello, Bob. Hello, Bill. How you doing?
Hello, Chris and Bob. I'm very happy to be here this evening. Speaking of economics, you can just go to, I believe, When Money Failed in the Land of Egypt. It's all there.
Yeah,
I may pull that out and do another study on it. I've got that like from 2 or 3 years ago when money failed, and that's I think where we are now.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear that study, Bill. I was thinking about that today. It's definitely.
When they go to Joseph and they said, "What if the money fails?" He says, "Well, will you still take our cattle? Can we still buy grain?"
Yeah.
An audience, well, it was all gathered up to the house of Pharaoh.
That's right, it was all gathered up to the house of Pharaoh.
A likeness of Satan himself in this time.
Yeah.
Well, that's what God said. He says, I raised up Pharaoh to show to show his magnificent, to display his magnificent glory through Moses there, so...
And here we have it today, the vessels of wrath today that are running the show, as Bob says, the serpents and scorpions. And, we're just talking in the pre-show tonight about the conniving that's going on behind the scenes right now. Going back to get that last old lady's pension, before they pull the plug on this thing. And, we see that clearly is what's taking place right now. They're just, on the last gathering of the last of the wealth that's left in this once free capitalistic system. And I think we're seeing this whole house of cards beginning to come down now, but it's all for God's purpose, and it's all about you know, the things that his people are holding on to, the false gods, the idols that are just not a part of God's plan. And as we see these, you know, weeks and months and however many years we have left transpire here, you know, we're going to see the Lord's strange act, the Lord's strange work, the finishing up of things playing out. You know, we don't set dates, but we can certainly see this thing, you know, underway. And it's exciting for us that are, you know, we know that we're, you know, abiding in Christ, you know, and we love the truth. We seek the truth and are willing to basically lay down whatever we have to lay down to get it. And it's just a pretty, you know, it's just an amazing place to be. I'm here to testify. I don't have my, you know, my hope in this world anymore. So whatever the Lord chooses to do concerning the things of this world, it just doesn't matter to me because my heart, you know, I'm standing on Mount Zion with the Lord right now, seated in heavenly places. I know it. You know, Scripture tells me that. And it's really exciting. But, yeah, we certainly see this thing coming unglued. And, you know, I follow Charlie McGrath. I've really gotten to enjoy him lately. He puts out those little YouTube videos. And then I found he does a really good weekly radio show, a daily radio show. And he's got good level-headed guests on there that have been putting it out. And one of the guys that's on that show named Dex I've really followed lately. And he said, you know, 8 days ago, or it was, you know, probably 2 weeks now, he said, in 8 days, this thing's all going to come down. And he said they're going to stop the plunge protection team. You know, it seems like that's what they're doing. They've stopped propping the thing up. They're just going to let the whole thing run.
Right now, as we speak.
Yeah, they're just letting this thing run its course now.
Not only after a bad day today, the Nikkei is down 400 tonight. Oil is down another $4. Gold is the only thing going up. It's up tonight. It's up $20 tonight.
I wonder where the dollar's at right now. The
dollar is 74.82.
Okay, so it's still holding its own, I guess. But
in looking at this audience, this is affecting the inhabitants of the earth. All of the earth are under this system. So now you're under a usury system, fractional banking, that it has been corrupted to the point where Chris's analogy of stealing the little old lady's pension is pretty dead on. And the effects of this transference of wealth to the people that are getting it today, remember, there's losses, but there's gains. So people that lost all their money, somebody else is getting that.
Exactly. You know, just speaking on the stock market itself, this is, you know, we're in uncharted waters right now, so I don't like to make a lot of comparisons. But, you know, in 1929, the stock market had the big crash. Like 2008, we did. It went down to 6,400 from 14,000. And then, you know, but right back a couple years later in 32 or whatever there, I'm not sure the exact years. It was 32 or early 33. It had recovered about 75%, just like this one did. This one recovered back to about 12,000, something, 80%. And then it looks like a repeat now. They're just going to pull the rug out of it.
Yeah,
and it's going to fall. It's going to fall worse this time. I'm looking around maybe 4,000 or 5,000 this time around.
Yeah,
and we're looking at audience of one indication of what's going on in your generation happened in Japan with the rice futures. Now this is unprecedented. They stopped the market on rice, and this was due to the fact that they are finally recognizing that all of the agriculture in Japan is polluted. It's radiated.
Now what's really interesting is the Japan dollar has been steadily strengthening over the last month. It's up to like the highest it's ever been, I think, 120, well, 77, I guess, would be, it was the Swiss franc and the Japanese yen is what's been going up.
But they're not telling you that, you know, the whole place is radiated.
Yeah, they're not telling you the whole place is radiated.
And they're not telling the population, and all of a sudden you're seeing YouTube videos that people are losing their hair, that the plants and animals are dying. And it's probably the biggest human disaster that there's ever been on the face of the earth.
Yep. And we haven't even seen it play out yet. It's only started.
No, absolutely no way. And in the Gulf, too. You said the guy had a shrimp boat for sale. I guess the...
It was a refrigerator truck. There's no shrimp down there. Guy doesn't need his truck.
And it's because, audience, the media is controlled by Satan. That's it. You could say that, you know, we have instantaneous events happening. But I can assure you there's been no stories on the Gulf of Mexico. The plight of the people in Louisiana. I can't even recall in 2 or 3 months. Anybody that's seen a story?
No.
And then you...
It's
so
like,
that's
hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil.
Yes. And it's just a propaganda media.
It's just a propaganda media, right? But they can't even go there. I mean, it's...
This is Tavistock on steroids, this stuff.
This is Tavistock on steroids, absolutely. Yeah.
And I encourage you, audience, look back in our archives, our early shows last year. Oh, and gentlemen, congratulations, you're coming up on your anniversary.
I was wondering about that.
1 year anniversary is coming up, I believe, on the 28th.
Huh.
I could be wrong. And as we proceed, audience, our early shows were a pleading of come out of the churches and come to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we sent, everybody went down a rabbit hole, and all the canaries died, and only the Lord brought us out. Because when you look at our early shows, it was a demonstration of the act of the knowledge of Scripture being revealed. Because none of us had any idea of the scriptural integrity of our day. If you were told last year, Chris, everything that was happening now, what would you think?
Oh, I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, I knew things were on a downward spiral, but yeah, this last year, when I think back on it now, it's just mind-boggling. My head is still spinning. It happens so fast, like a machine gun. You can't even keep up with it. I just think of the stuff that blew by us in the last month. You know, this, killings in Norway that took the spotlight off of Rupert Murdoch the weeks before, and what was before that. And I just it's just unbelievable the way they manipulate the minds of these people that we love. You know, the multitudes in the Valley of Decision are just. So deceived right now, and it's just so disheartening, as it says in Amos, that there'll be a famine on the land, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word of God. I'm just seeing that in a new light lately. You know, I've read that verse many times, but just it's that we put out the word. You know, we're doing it right now. It's just that who's hearing it? There's a famine for the hearing of it. And, you know, I just that impacted me this week, and I shared this with you guys, too. Something else the Lord just opened up to me this week. It was a revelation for me, you know, just a simple truth. But as I see the deception on the land, you know, we've got this preacher over here, ministry, exposing this ministry. But he's, you know, steeped in deception and lies. It's just such a multi-layered deception, and it just dawned on me, that's the bottomless pit. You know, it's the rabbit hole, it's the bottomless pit of there's just no end to the, there's no bottom to this deception. You know, when you're, it just seems like the common goal is, I mean, the common thread with all this deception is all based on people not, standing in their heritage and their covenant relationship with the Lord, and
And
well, you know, that's interesting that you talk about the deception being a bottomless pit there. And it all started with the first deception, thou shalt not surely die.
Yeah.
And now look where it's... And actually, the once saved, always saved, and they shalt not surely... People believe they're saved. Yeah. Satan's getting away with telling the same thing today.
And their pastors are backing it up. Their pastors are telling them with flatteries coming from the pulpits that, no problem, we've got a covenant with death, and with hell, we're in agreement. We've got it all worked out. You know, you'll be fine. When the overflowing scourge comes, it'll surely pass by you. But, you know, they don't realize that they've made lies their refuge. They're hiding, you know, in falsehoods. They hid themselves. They're not abiding in Christ. They're not abiding in the truth. And, you know, here we are today. This deception is just so great. You know, this time of gross darkness has come upon the people. But, you know, this is the time that God's people shine. And, you know, we're looking for the, you know, our light to continue to shine to where the time that the Lord does, you know, I'm still of the mind that these events that are taking place are going to be what it takes to wake up his people out of these harlot churches, and that as they see their worlds crumbling. And as I said, the common thread with this forsaking their heritage and their standing as Abraham's seed by faith, and that their eyes are on the world, their eyes are on flesh, their eyes are on the fleshly things of this world, and it's not by accident. They have been brainwashed with this teaching that you know, there's going to that the church is going to restore peace on earth, and I'm seeing the depth of this dominionist agenda as it truly is. You know, this new world order is really come to the point now. You know, this thing's right here. You know, it's going to be the solution to this economic collapse. And lo and behold, it's like the Tom Sawyer movie. I mean, the Tom Sawyer story where he got his friends to paint the fence for him. You know, Satan got the Christian church to build this kingdom for him. That's the most amazing thing of all. You know, he's got the deceived Christians supporting him. And it's just so amazing, the irony. The Lord's irony is just over and over and over again as we see you know, this stuff play out. It's just astonishing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But it's scriptural. This is absolutely 100% scriptural, audience.
And I would like to make one... I'm sorry, Bob. I thought a pause there. I just, as far as the economy, I want to make a clear statement. I don't make them very often, but this is it. It ain't coming back.
No.
This is it.
This is known as a hockey stick, audience.
Yeah.
This is Weimar Republic. This is 1929. there may be a bounce. There may be, because it's just it's an abomination of what the world has come to. Because there's trillions of dollars of people's money being given to other people. And the system is corrupted and it's mingled. And these men of great wealth are not letting the people glean the fields, they're letting them starve to death. The problem that they don't understand, if you flip this, is that the preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the repentance of sins and being the holy temple of the Lord is absolutely foolishness to this generation. And we were told it would be. When you speak of Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto the servant John. Audience, revelation is disclosure, it's appearing, it's coming. It's lightened, it's manifestation, it's to be revealed. It is a primary article of off, that is a way, something near in various senses, applications, after, ago, at, because, before, the space of in, out, off, since, with, a composition, a prefix, it usually denotes separation, departure, cessation, completion, reversal. It is a primary particle of off, that is away from something near in various senses of place, time, or relation, literally or figuratively, after, ago, because, before, by, for, in, on, since, with composition as a prefix, it usually denotes separation, departure, cessation, completion, reversal. It also means cover up. Hide. Now, we're told through Scripture that when you see the abomination that makes desolate, and you cannot... Gentlemen, would you say that's happened in the church at this time?
Yes. I see the abomination of desolation written by Daniel, so I've fled. I've fled the church because I don't want to be a part of that.
And the churches are telling you Jesus is in the desert. And he's not. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to everyone, audience, except those that are the lively stones, that study themselves to prove, that have repented of their sins, that are in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, that understand the scriptures to tell them to be sober, that witness this entire global inhabitants of the earth fiasco, and that only fear the Lord. Because if you fear for your economic security, you're not fearing for the Lord, because he will provide. It is to do his will in this generation, audience. It is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and no man. And we're told you are armed in the spirit. And we're told that these snares, these serpents and scorpions are coming after you with fiery darts. They want to kill your soul. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen.
And the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ outlines this specifically. And it talks of Babylon. Now, the world is Babylon. And their spiritual Egypt is an ensample, a parable, an example of what you who serve the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to do. And what you're not supposed to do. Bill?
Yeah, that's the plumb line, right? And nobody seems to have a plumb line anymore. We've been turned over to a reprobate mind. This church is actually, with this worldview that they now accept, you know, that it's like Jesus said in... Matthew chapter 23, for he encompassed sea and land to make one proselyte. You know, that's what they're building this, and he's twofold the child of Satan. That's what they're doing, building this global utopia now. You know, the church is just in lockstep with literally everything. They're in lockstep with the educational system. They approve of it. They're lockstep with the fiat currency system and debt and usury system, and they approve of it. They're in lockstep with the death or the medical death cult and the big pharma, and they approve of it. They're in lockstep with the legal system. They're in lockstep. They celebrate Tammuz every year, and this is the twofold child that they've created. And it comes from a reprobate mind. The reprobate mind has no righteous discernment. It can no longer see evil as evil. And it's like you said, Chris, they're seared. Their conscience is seared.
Their consciences are seared, yeah. In the latter days, men's conscience will be seared.
That means they stop grieving over sin.
Right.
They don't even grieve over sin. They don't even grieve over these great atrocities. Catastrophes, excuse me.
But then we also
see... most of these things will just be justified through compromise.
Yeah.
You know, justified. God's no. Yeah, right. It's form of dialectic compromise.
It's easy because you've got somebody to back you up. No matter anything that your imagination. There's a good one, huh, Bill? You've been doing a lot of work in that lately.
Yeah.
But anything that someone's imagination can come up, they can find somebody to back them up and agree with them. And that's what they need. You know, they need that constant affirmation, you know, because they're not using the plumb line as a guide.
Right. In this time... Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say, in this time, the Lord Jesus Christ will heal you. Seek ye him. He will take your blindness away, because it's very, very dark, audience. This is some very, very dark times for the inhabitants of the earth. Because they're not studying the Scripture. The Scripture has been diminished. They're not seeking the Lord. They're not in covenant with the Lord. They're not repenting of their sins. Now, you can look around at the world global scale and in the headlines in the papers, but I think of it more on, you know, go to your neighborhood church, listen to a sermon, and you'll know you're in the ends of the apostate.
Absolutely.
They are taking...
Psalms 10 says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and they blesseth covetousness, whom the Lord adoreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." God is not, you know, God is not in all their thoughts, is what that means. They don't have any thoughts of God in their mind anymore. They can just excuse these things away as saying, well, they're innocent fun. You know, Halloween is an example. They're make believe, they're fantasy. It's just pretend. Everybody's doing it. No one's perfect, by the way. Anyway, you know, we don't live in a perfect world, even though Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But what is the common saying today? Oh, nobody's perfect. We hear that everywhere. And it's an excuse for gross error and being on the wrong side of the plumb line. And their excuse would be, well, nobody's perfect. And yet Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
In Romans 11:28, audience, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. 1 Peter 4:14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Again, scripture upon scripture tells you in this time that the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to them that are without. Well, without what? They're without at the temple. They're the outer court.
Right, they are without, right. They're certainly without the armor of God on them.
And they are being trampled. And we're told this spiritually, this trampling is not anything fleshly you can see. This is Satan coming into their lives as light. This is the idle shepherds. This is the silversmiths that wanted to kill Paul because he was putting them out of business because he took away their idols from the people.
Oh, that's right.
This is the money changers running the whole show. And the example for us is that Jesus cleaned out the temple. That's you, audience. You are the temple of God. You represent the Holy One of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never, ever have more to do in your life than just that. And it's foretold that in this generation... As far as we could see, gentlemen, all of our studies are pointing that this is exactly what was going to happen. Spiritually.
Yep.
I didn't know that the market was going to crash today, audience. But I knew if I went to my neighbor and talked about Jesus Christ, they wouldn't understand it. I knew if I went into my church and said, here's what the scriptures say, and I think you guys are wrong, that they'd kick me out. These world events are just a quickening of, you know, what was foretold in Revelation. The revealing, the veils coming off, looking through the glass darkly, the temple veil being rent. You know, that's entering into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also seeing what's going on around you as a witness. And we pray to our Lord Jesus Christ that the dry bones have new life breathed into them. Frankly, don't care about the stock market. I care about anyone that's in captivity in Babylon. That they come out of Babylon and Egypt and Sodom and Gomorrah and come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into his rest. Bill?
Amen. You talked about their consciences being seared, Chris. You know, to have an unseared conscience or be conscious of God's, you know, be aware of God, abiding in him, in your thoughts is really to fight the flesh each day. That's the battle, is fighting the flesh each day. And these things of the world, as the church has gotten the world view and is in lockstep with the world and accepts everything of the world, and thus they're just exalting themselves. You know, to honor God is to follow and obey daily.
An indication of what's going on in this generation is just the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ are turned upside down. And
that's what the merchants do. The merchants with these reprobate minds that instead of following and giving picking up your cross, as you say, and following Christ, they give over to the ways of the world, which is the love of money, which is the root of all evil. That's why they're doing all of this. It's the love of money, which is the root of all evil.
And here it is. What can we expect to happen, gentlemen, economically? Just speculation.
Well, I'll give you my 2 cents. This is what I see is going to happen. have been under the belief that what they'll do is, pull the plug. I've been watching this thing, and I realize when they're going to pull the plug on the economy at the same time they get the war going. And I think what's going to happen is they're going to be aggressively doing something concerning Israel in the Middle East soon. I don't know when. Probably in the next couple months. And the whole thing will just come to a head. And then they'll end up blaming the economy going down on the war in some form or fashion. But ultimately, from our point of view, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and our understanding of the Gog-Magog war and all the ins and outs of it, we see all the twists of the truth of, you know, the understanding of our identity as Israel and our heritage as God's chosen people, our identity as God's covenant people, and that, you know, the heart of our studies and our teachings have been the way that covenant has been corrupted. And in that corrupting of our covenant with the Lord, the biggest manifestation out there is the misplaced affection for the land of Israel and the Jewish people. Christians don't realize that the land, that Zion, that Jerusalem, those are spiritual understandings. We're talking about Jerusalem above. We're talking about Mount Zion where Jesus is standing and we're standing with him. Ruling and reigning with him. This is the understanding that the true church understands. And as the apostasy has, these cunningly devised fables that began 150 years ago you know, with the infiltration of the seminaries and the church, with the corrupt teachings of the Schofields and the Darbys, and setting the stage for this today, and that we're seeing the Freemasons basically about their business of controlling the entire Middle East to set up their temple, which is a counterfeit of Bible prophecy, and to set up their earthly Antichrist kingdom. And this is where we are right now. And we're going to see something happen in Israel, and what it'll be is it'll come at the same time that the economy collapses, and ultimately America, because we see America truly as a signature of the pale horse, the UN U.S. pale horse is about to receive its deadly wound, and what we'll see, there'll be some form or fashion they'll blame the collapse of the United States on our abandoning Israel, as they've got, you know, puppet Obama propped up now with these outward defilements of Israel, the way he is, this theater, this big-time wrestling, is Netanyahu and Obama are breaking balsa wood chairs over each other's head. As the deceived, fleshly minded, dominionist, theocracy, Christian right is fomenting this deception, in that ultimately Christians will, the Zionist dominionist Christians will end up somehow, some way blaming the collapse on our not blessing Israel, which is a complete twist and distortion of scriptural truth. But out of this...
And it's actually true. That's the irony. The irony is that it's actually true. They have not blessed Israel.
No.
The true Israel, I mean.
The Israel of God. Had they blessed the Israel of God, none of this would have happened.
Might be different, yeah.
But then scripture would,
just irony again.
But we see that this is, all for God's purpose. And, that my comment there basically set the stage for the study tonight. And, I'm ready to go if you are, Bob. If you want to
I wanted to go over one thing. Bill, you had a study, and we're going to discuss it. And I just wanted to go over the reprobate mind again from Psalms 10. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, though, the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Bill?
Absolutely. The thoughts of our... this is when it says in Genesis chapter 6 where he says, my spirit can no longer strive with man because he's also flesh. And his thoughts are continually evil, when the mind, when your thoughts are continually in the flesh, that's when your thoughts become continually evil. And as it says here, they will not seek after me. Well, the flesh never seeks after God. The flesh has never for one day ever sought after God. It's not possible. Repentance and a contrite heart and the spirit is what, it's like Paul says, the spirit lusteth against the flesh. So the flesh is never going to seek God. I mean, that's like, that is an absolute for surety. And that's where they all go, is in the flesh. And like I said, they all just think isn't it innocent fun, when everybody else is doing it. And, to honor God is to follow and openly daily. That, as they said in Acts chapter 2, broke bread and was daily. They daily were in the doctrine of the apostles. It said daily. you know, you're lucky if people are in some kind of form of understanding, trying to understand the word maybe once a month, let alone daily. And you know, the church has created this thing, democracy is the political glue that holds Sodom and Gomorrah in lockstep. That's really what it is. And I'm going to just read a little bit, a couple paragraphs here. You know, God is supreme, and so is His will. You know, Americans in the westernized world have a hard time with any concepts outside of the myth of about this fable of democracy. That's where all their hopes are, in this myth of the fable of democracy. You know, in which they foolishly believe they could see this as liberty. They believe this to be liberty, or some sort of self-contribution or compliance to what he perceives to be what is right in his own mind, and good for the growing of mankind, you know, for the future generations to come, for our children. You know, this is what they conceive in their mind. And he's really, you know, the Christian here is just being made a sucker over these elections. They're not even really elections, they're just selections. And the powers that be form the beast based upon what the whore believes to be her. For the lack of conversation, the powers that be will base the whole system on what the whore believes to be are her morals and ethics. You know, the church is going to establish their own morals and ethics, and what they can get, what they think, what they decided in their might, what is right, and what they decided in their mind is wrong. And they're going to totally set aside God's righteousness. They set aside God's righteousness to bring about their version of morals and ethics, which I consider two factions of evil. This is why the religious have democratic types of government. You know, all of it, the free world, all the free world democracy, so to speak, that's basically the Christian world. They're all in love with this voting within their religious institutes.
And they voted Jesus out.
They voted Jesus out, right. They voted Jesus out.
Give us Barabbas.
The kingdom of God is not democratic, nowhere in the Bible.
And this is run by idol shepherds. We equate them to serpents and scorpions. And that metaphor applies to the tares audience. And if you don't understand the sour parable, you are told this is going to happen. It's going to happen sometime. And there's going to be a great falling away. The problem is that everybody that's in the churches don't see this. And the proper rendering of Scripture is, come out of her, come unto me, and I will show you. Because they're idol shepherds, and they're leading you into idol worship. And now that you're out and you're looking at this worldly infestation of the wicked, where they take evil for good, where they indoctrinate your children with very evil shows or very evil things. You know, we're told this is going to happen. It's just unbelievable that in your generations you see it, and you look around at everybody's death and they're blind. And that when you try and just go to the bottom of the pyramid and say, hey, you know, Jesus is ruling and reigning, they don't want to hear it.
No, they don't want to hear that. They want a place to cloak. They take their liberty, and they want to cloak their liberty in maliciousness, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then they'll frame with mischief by the law. And this is how they do it. Yeah, most religious institutions and their members support the political process in order to legislate morality, which leads to dominionism. They want to be the one in dominion through the state. This is your church and state, which is Mystery Babylon. and which is the reason is we must regain our perceived religious freedoms. That's what we do all this stuff, is to regain their perceived religious freedoms, when the true freedom is reigning in now with Jesus Christ. The true liberty is only in Jesus Christ. It's only in abiding in Christ. What did Jesus say? He said, when he said, woe, woe, he says, why do you not do what I say? You know, it's so, you know, they all have Jesus, but they don't do what he says.
No, and they're not in covenant with Jesus Christ. And the shame of all of this is that it's, you know, our example of cleaning out the money changers is worldwide.
Yep.
And you can be assured that these large corporation churches that have stored up great, great wealth of their people have their money in the stock market. They have money in the hedge funds. They have money in real estate. They didn't give charity to the poor.
Right, because this was a world thing, the stock market, and they were told that, oh, well, being in the stock market's a Christian thing because God surely wants you to prosper, and he surely wants you to store up wealth. And the Christians buy into this, see?
See, the gates of hell will not prevail against those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says it so. The Holy Spirit reveals these metaphors, not man. When it's referred in Daniel that the books will be open and the books will be closed, you have historical precedence of man's best, the six. Of all the people that study the Bibles, Aristotle, the greatest of the historians, the greatest of the mathematicians. But you don't have anything down on paper that says they identified a serpent or a scorpion, or they had the proper rendering of the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ in all his parables.
They couldn't rightly divide the word of truth. They couldn't put the identifier on what they were reading. That's the whole key. No matter how smart they were, Thomas Jefferson couldn't do this. Considered the wisest man of his time, certainly one of the wisest, and he could not rightly divide the word of truth. He couldn't identify anything in the Bible. That's what it means. And the apostate church will always turn to man for answers rather than God. They will always do that. God has always allowed man's free will to see who he freely chooses to serve him. Matthew chapter 10 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And then 24, Matthew chapter 7, 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So many Christians have heard these sayings, but they don't doeth them. I will liken unto him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock.
And you don't want to be anything else, audience. This is a private you in our Lord Jesus Christ. No man can see anyone's heart. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, can heal you. He can heal your blindness. He can heal your deafness. But most of all, he wants to enter into covenant with you. He wants the gates of hell not to prevail against you. And 99.9% of the world does. They're oblivious. This gospel is being diminished to the point, audience, where I can tell you from just 4 years of study that the Christian websites that are out there on the internet have it all wrong. That the churches are absolutely in Babylon and they're bowing down to Satan. and all of this is scriptural, and all of this is happening in our generation, and all of it is getting faster and faster and faster.
Right, it's moving so fast. The last 50 years, certainly in my lifetime, even the last 40 years, I don't think that I could have lived any other period in the world outside of isolated incidents. Yes, if you were isolated in France during the time of the 1787 there, the French Revolution or something, things could change dramatically. But just from an overall perspective of everything changing, I don't think that ever a person in 40 years would have lived to see the world change in just 40 years that much. And it's the organized religions, these corporate whorehouses, these dead corpses, these, you know, the whole world, outside world is corporate, and that wasn't good enough. The churches had to become corporate too, you know, to make one proselyte. And they failed to change society at all. Society's just fallen even farther into the mud. So Christianity has completely failed because they did not submit to God. They didn't submit to God's will. That's the reason why. They were not led. All these Christian institutions out there were not led by the Holy Ghost. This is why you saw no change in the world. You just see the church taking on the image of the world.
And as we proceed to our Joel study audience, this is very important on a spiritual application to see the little season, to see the inhabitants of the earth being affected, that we recollect the pale horse studies. Now, this is all mingled. The only pure thing in this world right now is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only truth in the world. You can't get any truth out of anything happening in the world, because the whole world lies in wickedness. And if you equate that the whole world lies in wickedness, and scripture upon scripture says that there's a tares and there's a seed, you don't have to go far to put it together that this is a generation that's a lot different than anywhere else, because it never affected the entire globe as it is today. Chris?
Yeah, well, I sure agree, Bob. We try to put out this current events, and in the last months, you know, I've been just at a loss for words because it's just so hard to know what to tell people as far as truth goes. And you can't, you know, there's just so much disinformation out there. But one thing I do know is the scripture, you know, is true. And that those who diligently seek the Lord, he does reveal it to you. And you have to have the love for the truth for you to be able to have scripture revealed to you. But, you know, there are portions of scripture that I know are true. And I can, you know, present it as truth. And tell people this is the absolute truth, that I can only say that about Scripture, nothing else, because you know, the Holy Spirit testifies that it's true in my heart, and with that I'm going to do a little bit of review just to get us back on track here with why we're in Joel right now. But, you know, those that have tracked with us over the last year, you know, knew that we did a pretty extensive study on the pale horse. And as we were finishing that up, we got into Revelation, got into the chapter 13, the beast of Revelation, the beast and the false prophet, the woman, the harlot. And as we were in the middle of the harlot study, somehow we just started realizing that there was something fishy about the millennial kingdom, that doctrine. And we never really were led to study it, but a couple chains of events did lead us to that, in that direction. And it was when we discovered that the word thousand is not a literal word for a period of time. I mean, it's a indeterminate period of time is what the word thousand means. And when we hear the word thousand-year reign, we understood that it was a symbolic period of time. And as the Lord started opening that up to us, we realized that this has been the period of time since the cross, that it's the time that the perfected saints rule and reign with Jesus Christ by ministering the gospel, and that Satan was bound at the cross. And then we also see that in Scripture that Satan is loosed at the end for a little season. And we've come to the conclusion, based on our studies and looking around, you know, we see that this is upon us right now, and that the gospel has been what has restrained Satan. But in the last 50 years, 60 years, we see the pure gospel message has been diminished to the point now that it's lost in the churches, that the churches are not preaching the true gospel. They're preaching another gospel, just like Jesus warned would happen. These false prophets, these wolves in sheep's clothing, are teaching another Jesus. And as we came to understand this, the Lord brought us to understanding that the thousand-year reign is coming to an end right now. And what happens at the end of the thousand-year reign is the Gog-Magog event. And so we started to really look into that and to seek the Lord's understanding on it. And as that opened up to us, and we have to give credit to our friends Sue and Randy with the Third Day Studies, as they had just gotten into that and for some reason went off and didn't finish their study. But it piqued my interest to understand that what the Gog-Magog War is. As the Lord's brilliant irony, as we always see, is that the time that the church turns against itself, and that the Lord uses his very church to pass out, to pass judgment upon his elect to actually carry out the separation of the wheat and the tares. And as we read in Revelation 20, verse 8, "And shall go and to see the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp with the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." And here we see the saints are compassed right now. This is happening in real time. This is the remnant elect that are encompassed. This is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is encompassed with armies. This is happening right now. The true remnant elect are encompassed with serpents and scorpions. It's taking place in the church. The church, which this study of Gog-Magog obviously is centered in Ezekiel chapter 38. And the renditions that this piece of scripture has, that the apostate church has brought out, the deception concerning this, you know, incredibly important truth in Scripture is just so overwhelming, as this thing has been twisted and distorted beyond belief. But when we take a look at Ezekiel chapter 38, and specifically verse 11, "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." What is that? Who is that? Who is the land of unwalled villages? Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls." Zechariah 2:4 says, "And said to him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle." And then Habakkuk says, "Therefore," this is verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4, "Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth, for the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously that I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And here we have it. You know, this is an account of the Gog-Magog War, that the church is the land of unwalled villages, dwelling in safety right now. And that's about to change, because this prosperity that the Laodicean church has grown accustomed to and has considered themselves entitled to is about to change. And we're going to see that the Lord, it says in Revelation 17:17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And here we're going to see the account in Joel how the Lord puts in the serpents and scorpions' hearts to come against his remnant, to separate them. This is the harvest. This is the time of the end when God separates his wheat from his tares. And this is where we are today. And we had a pretty lengthy discussion in our pre-show tonight as far as where we are. And it's a tough thing to put our finger on exactly where on God's timeline we are. But this is we try to put out the truth and allow you the listener to find your place in it, and to say we're exactly at this day is hard. It's impossible, but all we can say for sure is that it's upon us, and it's time to buckle down, get right with the Lord, get your nose into that Bible, study it like your life depends on it. Because it does, and surrender your will to the Lord, because Satan doesn't come to convince you to do your will, to convince you to do his will. He convinces you to do your will, and that's the problem. Because those who love the truth are the ones that the Lord reveals it to, and those who love not the truth, God sends them strong delusion. That's what we have today. We have the apostate church is just in a mess of strong delusion, running to and fro, following every wind of doctrine by these apostate false prophet pastors, leading their flock astray. And we're going to see this account in Joel tonight as we continue on in Joel chapter 2 of the Lord doing his strange work, his strange act, his work that if he were to tell us, we wouldn't believe it. And I look at this, and I still can't believe it. Until I look around and I see what is happening, and I see that this absolutely is taking place right now, as the land of unwalled villages is about to be shaken, and this is the Lord's finishing up of things as he does shake his church to call out his people, his remnant elect, from the four corners of the world, and we're going to see an accurate account taking place right here in Joel. And before I jump into Joel chapter 2, verse 10, where we left off last week, I was just going to see what you guys had to say before I did.
Well, this is confirming Exodus. And this is what we're supposed to do, audience. We're supposed to put a perspective on our generation through the studies of our scriptures. In Exodus 10, 14, and 15, and the locust went up over all the land of Egypt. Now, in the context of the scriptures, audience, I want you to take our generation and forget about the land masses in the United States and Europe and Asia and think about just Egypt. Spiritual Egypt. And the people are enslaved by Satan, likened unto Pharaoh. And the Lord is going to redeem his people. But to redeem his people, he is sending plagues unto mankind to show his power and judgment. He's judging the people. Before them, there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. Now, this is the transition, audience. This is Joel in a different perspective. For they covered the face of the whole earth. Now you have spiritual Egypt, which is likened unto the whole system. And now it's covering the whole earth. And it says, after them shall be such, neither after them will be such. Okay, so you're not going to see these locusts in the physical. This is a transition to the spiritual. The spiritual is likened unto locusts that are eating all the money, that are taking all the real estate, that are they're just stripping the earth of everything. And you're told,
especially sound doctrine.
And it's sin, audience. On one level, it's just flat out sin. It's a sin of mankind. So that the land was darkened. And that's our generation right now. And to follow through with this. And they did eat every herb of the land. And that's the seed of God. They're eating everything, audience. And all the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left, there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. And this is the very end time generation, audience. We're to use that example of the plagues of the locust in the spirit now. And we're to liken unto spiritual Egypt as coming out of Egypt and coming to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he frees you as your enslavement is on. And he sets you free. And if you can't understand these simple analogies, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to study yourself approved and understand this, and the Holy Spirit will teach you this. And as far as we can see, Bill, I mean, we're at the many plagues of Egypt, and it's affecting the judgment. This is judgment upon the church. And we know we're far in advance. We may be in the ninth plague. And the ninth plague was 3 days of darkness, utter darkness.
Utter darkness, right. And there's, what is that, Augusto Perez guy is proclaiming that we're going to have 3 days of complete darkness, Chris?
Yeah. Don't get me started, Bill.
And it's already here.
Yeah. It's already here. Gross darkness is on the land. But, you know, I just, something really stuck out when you were reading, Bob, was the hail. You know, because what does the hail do? The hail sweeps away the lies. And it was neat the way that you were, calling us to stand in the truth. And that's what happens. The hail sweeps away the lies. And, I liken the hail to persecution. And that, the persecution that comes down from the two-thirds of
the
apostate.
It either sweeps away, it does one of two things. It either sweeps away the lies or it hardens the heart.
Okay, that's right.
You know, when the hail came down on Pharaoh, his heart just got harder.
Right. Right. Isn't that something? Yes. And that's it. That's what happens. And that's the judgment that's here, the decision in the valley of decision.
In the valley, right.
That the Lord is carrying out. He's making his decision of, separating out his flock, separating the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats.
And they devour. And there are specific types of locust, audience. Cankerworm. They look up, they devour. Young locust. They're all different stages of development in this locust analogy. There's wave after wave that are carried by the four winds of the earth. It is upon the land at this darkness. And then we equate that to the darkening of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Mm-hmm. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, his church, and his people. And everybody's focused on the economy, and everybody's focused on everybody else, but nobody's focused on, as we're told through Scripture, our Lord Jesus Christ. Chris?
Amen, brother. And that's the perfect lead into Joel chapter 2, verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their light. And, you know, we see the earth shall quake, just like it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, that by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye may not soon be shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, that they shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, and here we are. This is the time when, you know, the deception that has come out of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit's open. The locusts are coming out of the bottomless pit. And I see that this...
We better be careful of that falling away that's going to be coming.
Yeah, watch out for that falling away. Watch out for that coming deception. Now, we say that facetiously, folks, because, you know, we've been in the falling away for a long time. The church has fallen away from sound doctrine. They've... you know, heaped upon themselves teachers, you know, telling them what they want to hear. You know, the people have itching ears. And they have found, you know, and the smorgasbord of churches, you know, can go from one to the next until they find the right church that tickles their ears just the right way. And this is what we have today. You know, the Bible says ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And this is the problem because... The church has fallen into complete apostasy, and this is why you know, we'll see an account you know, here in Joel. And basically, it's also accounting in another part of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. It's the destruction of Babylon because Babylon's sins have reached heaven, and God asks if Babylon will be healed, but Babylon is not healed. You know, Babylon is destroyed. And this is why it's just imperative for God's remnant elect, God's people that have ears to hear, that are questioning, that are wondering what's wrong in the church. They can't put their finger on it. But, you know, what you're seeing is the abomination of desolation. You know, you're seeing that the daily sacrifice has ceased, and that the covenant has been corrupted with flatteries, and that when you see this, we're told to flee. You know, we flee to the wilderness. We flee to the safety of the Lord, the truth. We abide in Christ, abide in the truth. You know, the wilderness is a metaphor for the truth. That's where these are all metaphors. This is an account of the Gog-Magog War, which is metaphoric. This is, the Gog-Magog War is raging today, August, 8th. 2011, and it's raging at your corner church. It's the conflict between the serpents and the scorpions and the remnant, as the remnant are waking up to the apostasy and waking up to the gross darkness that has overcome the house of God. And as they speak out against this apostasy, you know, they're met with tremendous persecution. Because what's happening, what the truth is doing, the truth is dividing the house of God. And we see the accounts of the wheat and the tares, the threshing floor that the wheat is piled high on, because the fields are white unto harvest. And this process is being carried out by the vehicle that the Lord has chosen, which is deception. Deception is for God's purpose. God uses deception to separate out his flock because his sheep hear his voice. His sheep are not deceived. This is how God separates out his people. And, you know, this is what the locusts have brought, this deception that has overcome the church, taken over the control of the church today. And this is why the sun is smitten and the moon and the stars have lost they're darkened. This is why. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And here we see the Lord's army, which is not what we've been taught, not what the apostate church is teaching. Because today there's a sect of the religious movements out there that is proclaiming to be this very army, Joel's army. This is how we know where we are today. But they don't realize that Joel's army, as they've coined this term, this army that Joel is accounting of in verse 11, are the bad guys. These are the enemy. These are the ones who God has put in their hearts for his purpose to carry out his will, as he uses these serpent and scorpion army to come against his people, to separate them. And this is what we're going to continue to see here in Joel chapter 2.
And you know, these people you said, they don't have any discernment, claiming to be Joel's army. Is they, like we discussed earlier, they don't know, they don't even know what's evil because their consciences are seared.
Yeah, that's right. And this is exactly what you were referring to earlier, Bill, is rightly dividing the word of truth, because this is what we're called to do. And this is what mm-hmm. they're not doing. They're not rightly dividing this. They're not identifying these people in the scripture. Because as we see now in Ezekiel chapter 37:10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now that army is the wakening multitude. Because this process of the Gog Magog war is to wake up the church. And it's either going, like you said, it's going to either harden their hearts or it's going to wake them up out of their slumber. And this is what's upon us right now. You know, because we see, how we know for sure that this is the waking multitude, the account in Ezekiel 37. Because it's the same thing in Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And I can attest to that, because as God's people wake up, it causes tremendous fear, to come upon the lost in the harlot church, because the lost in the harlot church are in this state of coma, that they're not able to hear the word of God. You know, they're the famine is upon them, and as the truth is spoken, it brings fear upon them. And I can tell you firsthand, This is exactly what happens. As I woke up, as I stood upon my feet in my church and started speaking these truths to the elders and to the pastors, I was constantly accused of having so much fear in my message. But, you know, they didn't realize that the fear was coming from them. It wasn't me. It was the truth. The truth that was causing the fear. But, as we're identifying, what we're doing right now is we're rightly dividing the word of truth. We've identified the army from the north. This is the army that Joel is identifying in verse 11. Ezekiel 37:10 is talking about the army of the multitude, the waking multitude that are on the other side. And we go to Revelation 9, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horse in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And here we see clearly the identities that we saw earlier in the chapter of the lions, the reference to the cheek teeth of the lions. And we know that this is the army and the horsemen. We know the horsemen is clearly a signature of the tribulation that God is using to wake up his church, because that's what this shaking is. And God, you know, we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where God told us to Now ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. See, that's a that's an affirming message from Paul for us to not be shaken when we see this coming. And I'll tell you what, I'm not shaken by this. I've been studying to show myself approved, and I am very excited that the Lord has opened this up to us, revealed this to us, and I am just privileged to be a part of this, and that I've been able to, you know, I don't want to boast. I hope I don't come across with pride, but I am just grateful that the Lord has opened my eyes, because I was there a couple years ago. I was one of them in the church sleeping, you know, just sitting in this seeker-friendly mega church environment, just thinking, oh well, I guess this is what God is doing right now. And just oblivious to what had happened to me in the years prior, that I had slowly but surely been lulled to sleep by these, you know, false doctrines and this complacent, lukewarm gospel message that had slowly infiltrated the church system until a turn of events brought me out of it. I woke up, I stood up, and I confessed my sin before my peers in my men's group and just sought the Lord, because he knew that I knew. I've been in the church for a long time, and I remember years ago it was good. There was good fellowship and good worship. And I had a group of believers that I was surrounded by that loved the Lord. And that's what we did when we were together. We were excited about the Lord. We shared what the Lord was doing in our lives, the revelation he was showing us. This was the Christian life that I had early on in my walk. And something happened, you know, it drifted. And as I saw these churches become community centers, and all with, you know, the blessing of the leadership, until, you know, the Lord brought me out of it. And here I am today, just mourning for the, you know, in sackcloth and ashes for my loved ones that are still in this system that can't see, that like Bob shared about his neighbors that just can't hear. But I'm excited because I can see clearly this account in Joel. This is so encouraging to me, because I do see that the Lord does get their attention. How many? That's a good question. The Lord, you know, the scripture says the numbers is as the sand of the sea. What is that? It's a picture. We don't know. But all we know is we just keep seeking the truth and putting it out there and trust the Lord to bring it upon the ears that that can hear.
Brother Bill?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on very briefly on, I guess it's Revelation 9:16. And I've been meaning to do this, and I haven't done it yet, so this is just a guess on my part. There's very serious identification in this 200,000. If you'll search Revelations, and particularly Revelation, 1,000 is always spoken of as something good and something imperfection. And right here, and this is the only spot where you have 1,000. And then it says two. You know, I could see this is just clearly being the two factions of evil in this verse. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Now I want to go back and study that. Maybe.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, Bill. That could be either.
I'm telling you, these words, thousands and stuff, are all symbolic meanings. And you can just see it there. It stands out like a sore thumb.
Now, audience, they preach in the churches rapture doctrine, which tells you you will be out of here, which means that you don't have to endure tribulation. And then in the dispensationalists, they tell you that you're going to be in a different dispensationalist where the Jews will be restored, the fleshly Jews will be restored. And then this doctrine tells you Buddha's coming, and this doctrine tells you the Inman's coming, and the Mullah's coming, and the body. And in this one, there are the 144,000, and the Mormons are a different planet.
They call they put the stars
with your holy underwear. And you gotta have your or in your space suit.
And audience, those are all locust.
They're all locust, right?
They're all locust. And they're eating up all the green things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're told scripturally that you are to wear the armor of God, the helmet of salvation. And that's this gospel, where you understand who they are. You understand who the serpents and scorpions are. You understand the Pharisees and the scribes. You understand that Satan is ruling this world. He sits in the temple of the world. You understand all this because there's only one gospel. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other books. There's no other wisdom. And it's telling you very plainly, if you study yourself approved, if you study with the intent to do the will of the Lord in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, repentant of your sins, being holy, understanding that no flesh is good, that the sins of the world are upon the heightened, it's the tribulational time where everywhere you go is the temptation to sin. And the very simple analogy is sin no more and go. And no man is perfect in not sinning, but every man is perfect in God's sight if he circumcises your heart where no man can see it. It is the will of the Lord that you know this. It is the will of the Lord that you know his gospel. Seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Sardern. Good night.
All right. Another one in the can.
200,000. That's true. That's 2 trillion locusts.
That sounds about the money they just...